Well, it's such an honour to be here today and to be sharing the Word of God with you. And it's something, yeah, it's a challenge to share the Word. And but I know God's given me a good Word that's going to encourage you and bless your heart. And so we've been going through the book of Psalms and you know, the ascending and descending and the journeying the highs and lows of the life through the Psalms. And it's something, I suppose for me, it's something that I've loved the Psalms most of my life. And so it was such an honour and a privilege when Daniel asked me to preach. And I just thought, oh, this is a subject I absolutely love. You know, there's been times in my life where I've read the Bible several times, but, you know, somehow the Psalms has been living and real to me. You know, we go through ups and downs in our life and, you know, there's times of happiness and joy and but sadness, you know, and we go through problems and situations, but the Psalms, I always run to the Psalms and find answers and relief in my life and prayers that I can pray. And that's what I want to share today. I want to show you that God loves you and his character shines through the Psalms. And for me, I just want to reveal to you today that, you know, the Psalms are so powerful and when we proclaim them and read them and worship the Lord through them, you know, he becomes real to you and to me. And it's not by chance that Rhys has been sharing this morning and saying connect your mind and your heart to Jesus. And I just want to share that today, you know, just as I share today, I just want you to focus on Jesus. And I just want to pray at the moment. And let's just open the Word of God in prayer. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for today. And we just thank you, Lord, that you are the author and the finisher of our faith, Lord. And we come to you today knowing that you've given me a message to proclaim. And I'll open my mouth with boldness and to share the wondrous love of your life to everyone that hears it today, Lord. So come, Holy Spirit, and have your way. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. So I wanted to share with you, I've been reading this book called A Heart for God. And I've had this book for many years and it's a book, it's like a 30-day journal of the life of David. And it talks about David and how he was a man after God's own heart, and that's what the scripture says about him. But he went through highs and lows of his life, and we've mentioned that through the Psalms, and a lot of the Psalms are Psalms of sadness and lament, and there's times of joy and blessing. And but David was a man that had a heart for God. But I wanted to share about his life before the background to David's life, and this might be something new to a lot of you, but a study of the life of David is essential, I believe, to our proper understanding of the nature of God's redeeming and restoring grace. Few men entered the kingdom of God with as many millstones tied around their neck as did David, son of Jesse. David was bound by a curse pronounced by God generations before his conception. His birth was shrouded in the mystery of sin and probably moral failure. His childhood was broken and flawed, according to his own pained testimony. David consequently grew up to be a very dysfunctional man. He was a failure as a husband and as a father. In his royal court, David's servants pictured him as a volcano ready to explode. His notorious guilt as an adulterer and a murderer deeply stained the sacred record. Yet in spite of it all, David rose to become one of the most intensely spiritual persons in all of Holy Scripture, second only to Jesus Christ. David's name appears in the Word of God more than 1,150 times. The fact that he is named more often than any other patriarch, priest, prophet, king, or apostle. Only our God and his Christ are named more frequently. It is clear testimony to how the Father himself viewed David, an honoured and a cherished man after his own heart. David was a man of God. Pulling all of the facts of his life together, we cannot but touch something of the revelation of God's redeeming and restoring grace. David pressed beyond his abysmal sin and failure, even beyond the severity of God's disciplines and judgments against his sin, into the very forgiveness and deliverance of God. The mercy of God came to David and redeemed him. David found and treasured the grace of God, Jehovah's covenant love, and that covenant love restored him. And that's my testimony today, that David was a man after God's own heart, and he was a recipient of God's abounding love and grace to him and the restoration of his life. And I want to just touch on that today, because some of us were like that. You know, some of us probably had generational things in our life that have, you know, we were the outcast in a sense in our families, and, you know, from generations. And but God's put you all here today. He's put you all here in a family of God's people. That was my testimony, and I'm going to share that a little bit later. But the thing is, God loves you. And no matter what background you are, his restoring grace is being poured out to you today. It's being poured out in a way for you to find the Lord and find his redeeming grace and dig deeper into him. That's my prayer today, is that you'll grow in the knowledge of him. And that's what I'm sharing this today, is growing up in Jesus Christ. You know, we're all saved. We know what it is to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. But he's calling us today to grow in him. And it doesn't matter whether you're 6 or I'm 71, but I still want to grow in him. And that's my prayer today. So I shared that background to David because we're going to read one of the Psalms, and it's Psalm 103. And I just want to go through the whole psalm and share that with you. And it's a beautiful psalm, and it's something that I know God wants to take you through and show you different principles through the Word of God. Okay, so Psalm 103, and I'm just going to read the whole psalm, and then I'm just going to break it up as we go through it. It says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are higher than above the earth, so great is his mercy towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgression from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are grass. As the flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and his place remembers it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to such as keep his covenant and to those who remember his commandments to do them. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, you his angels who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all you his hosts, you ministers of his who do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all the places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And do you realise when we were singing this morning, House of the Lord, there's joy in the house of the Lord. You know, I was thinking, you know, we were beggars, but now he's come and set us free. Amen. We've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. We've been healed. And this verse in Psalm 103, it just talks about, I believe the first six verses are like, how do I say this? But I believe that this is the heart of the gospel. And many years ago when I was 35, I had my last daughter. And, yeah, she's 38 now. But, she was my baby number six. And, you know, at the time I was in hospital and I was holding her and I was saying, oh, thank you, Lord, for this blessing of this little girl. And one of my friends came in and she said, Lorraine, God's told me to give you this psalm. And it was Psalm 103 from verse 1 to 6. And, you know, I read it and I thought, Lord, I'm 35. I feel really old. I felt worn out. You know, I'd had six kids and I had a busy life. And I was saying, Lord, please help me here. You know, I just really want to be young again. I felt quite old and worn out. And I studied this psalm, you know, and it was like the Lord was saying. He said, read these six verses and lay hold of the words of this psalm and you will take hold of them and pray and see what I'm going to do. And it's like, you know, usually say, you know, 6 weeks after you give birth, you know, your body comes back into line and you're feeling a lot better. And I thought, Lord, I'm going to take these 6 weeks and just pray and I'm going to read this psalm every day and see the healing work you're going to do in my life. And that's what he did. And, you know, it's something I'll never forget. And I used to read that, you know, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. You know, I used to dig deep and say, Lord, I want to be restored from inside out. I want my youth to be renewed like the eagles. And that's what he did with me. You know, and even today, you know, I was reading this during the week and I thought, Lord, I still feel young. I still feel a young whippersnapper in a way. And you know, I could run and, you know, I've been away overseas and I'll tell you a little bit about that later. But, you know, I felt young again to climb mountains and run and do things, you know, with my family and go to special places all around the world. And you know, I felt young. And so he really does. He satisfies our mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles, you know. And yeah, so I'd encourage you to just, if you feel you've got things in your life that you need to forgive someone, or God's forgiven you, so you can forgive those other people in relationship with you and see the Lord restore that relationship. And, you know, or he heals our diseases. He redeems our life from destruction. Praise the Lord. So it's beautiful when he does that work. Amen. So this is a walk of faith that I'm talking about today. Psalm 103, I want to break it up and show you that the first part is, I believe, the heart of the gospel. The next part is God's character. And in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14 to 16, you can hold your finger in Psalm 103, or if you got your phone, that's fine. we all look it all up on the phone. So, but in Ephesians 4, and this is my prayer for you today, that we be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things unto him who is the head, which is even Christ, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. You know, the Lord's building up the body. He's doing it by the power of his Holy Spirit. And will you join me today in growing up in him? You know, let's just line up, you know, our mind and our heart, because God wants to do a work in your heart today. He wants to transform your heart and for you to grow up in him, to grow up into the knowledge of Jesus Christ. His desire is not just to know him as our Saviour, but he wants to be revealed through you to your family and to friends, and that we will have the ability and the strength to be able to share the gospel to our family and friends and pray with them. And I had that honour the other day, which was wonderful, you know, to be able to share the gospel and to be able to encourage people. So praise the Lord. But that's what he wants to do in each and every one of us. You know, he wants to take us and use us for his kingdom. In Hebrews 11, verse 6, it says, without faith, it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. I'm just reading the verse up there. It's really good. So, you know, without faith, you know, this is my challenge to you today, that as we go through Psalm 103, as you go through the Psalms or you read the Word during the week, you know, God's saying, without faith it's impossible to please me. And as you open the Word of God, he reveals his character to you today. And he wants his very life to come through these pages of the Word of God. He wants to take those words and produce life in you through the Word of God. And so the next section of Psalm 103, it's talking about this. Like I said, this is a walk of faith. And we come to him and believe that as we receive this Word of God, he takes that by faith and uses this word through you to meet the needs of others, and it can even build yourself up and know that he's given you the power to walk in victory, to see healing in your body, to see that he comes to heal all your diseases. Amen. And it's good to pray, to get people to pray, but I'm encouraging you today to believe yourself. Believe yourself when you're sick, and yeah, that's fine to ask for prayer. But what about yourself? Well, you know, when we come to the Word of God, and like I said to you, he renewed my youth like the eagles. I had others praying for me, but they didn't know the specifics that what I was going through myself when I felt worn out. But I became strong and young again. So praise the Lord. And so I'd encourage you today to just pray and say, Lord, I believe your word. I believe you want to bring healing in my body, to heal all my diseases and to give strength in my life. Praise the Lord. And I wanted to share with you, I've just been overseas. I've been to England with my family. And one of the things I wanted to do, I went to Scotland, and I've got a Scottish heritage. And one of the things the Lord showed me was I wanted to go back to where my grandma grew up, and it was in a city called Dundee in Scotland. And so on our travels around Scotland, people were asking me, you know, on the street, some of the Scottish people, oh, what are you doing over here? Where are you going? And I'd be sharing with them where we were going to go. And one of the places, I was telling them about my grandma and going to Dundee, but I said my grandfather came from Govan, which is a city that's down south. There's quite a bit of distance between Dundee and Govan. And they said, Govan? And I said, yeah, well, what is it about Govan that you know? And they said, oh, no, that's a dodgy place. And I said, really? and I said, but my grandfather came from there. And I was saying, what is it about Govan? And I'd heard this a couple of times in Scotland. And they said, it's a place where people grow up and they have no hope of making a better life for themselves. I suppose it'd be very like for us, you know, coming from, you know, somewhere around Melbourne that, you know, it's very hard to get out of that situation and make a better life for yourself. And I suppose, you know, how we, you know, it's not a very nice word, but you know, we see people as bogans, you know, or someone that has no hope, you know. And so that's where my grandfather came from, as a place like Govan. And, you know, and I'm only sharing this from what people were saying in Scotland. But anyway, so please forgive me for saying that word. But anyway, yeah, I'm not aiming it at anyone, you know, it's just an expression. So, yeah, but those people, my grandfather came from there and I thought, Lord, what is it about them? And they said, and he met a lady in Dundee. That's a long distance. This was in the early 1900s. It was my grandparents. And they said, how did they meet? And I said, well, I don't know, but they got together and they got married. And then they were able to purchase a ticket to come to Australia a year later. So they were married in 1910 and they came to Australia in 1911 on a boat all the way to Australia. And for me, I'm just guessing this, but my grandfather must have been able to, you know, because they brought my grandmother came and her two aunties came, and they'd never been able to have children, but my grandma was coming, and they all came together on this boat, and I just thought, oh Lord, I'm just thinking about it, and I was singing. For my grandfather, it was like a way out, a way of hope for him to come to a new country and with new beginnings and a new hope for the future. And I thought, oh, from my point of view, I thought, oh, this is wonderful. And I've just been thinking of David and how God restored his life and gave him a second chance, you know, and redeemed his life from destruction. And that's happened with me, you know, in my family. And you know, God's blessed me, and my grandfather came here and had a new life with his family. And so for me, it's something that I can see. You know, we have a hope and a future. You know, I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for him coming to Australia. Amen. So I'm sure you've all got stories to tell like that. So God's character, you know, here, you know, it goes on to say that he made known, from verse 7, he made known his ways to Moses and his acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. And I want you to just think about these words and see, this is God. And this is what he's giving to you. He is our generous giver. He's our God that loves us, and he's always there giving us and he's our generous giver. Over and over again, he's giving to us. Yeah. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins. Isn't that beautiful? Nor punished us according to our iniquities, even though we deserve that. You know, the judgment on us without knowing the Lord is horrific. But praise God, we turned our life around and He forgave our sin. We came to Him and we repented. And He forgave our sin and gave us new life. Amen. Verse 11, for as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is His mercy towards those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. You know, how far is that? It's never ending. You know, He takes our sin as far as the east is from the west. These are promises we can hold on to and say, Lord, they're forgiven and forgotten. You know, never remembers them again. Praise the Lord. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear Him. For He knows our frame. He looked on me when I was 35 and I was feeling old. He knew me. He knew my frame. And He said, I'm going to do a work in you, Lorraine. And He did. Amen. He knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. As the flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. Amen. On those who fear Him and His righteousness to children's children. That's a promise for us today, for our children and for our children's children. You know, I've got grandchildren and I know, you know, every chance I get, I pray with them and share the love of Jesus to them. And, so I'm sowing into them, you know, for their future righteousness and amen. So that's a promise for each and every one of us. Yeah. To such as keep His covenant and to those who remember His commandment to do them. Amen. So I just want to share with you that that's God's character, and every verse there is all about Him. And He wants to reveal Himself to you today. Amen. So praise the Lord. And like I said to you before, this is a walk of faith. And, it's something that, you know, we can see the victory of the Lord in, you know. It's time, like I said before, it's time. Instead of asking for prayer, you pray yourself for needs in your life. You can believe the Lord. You know, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit where He dwells, and He wants to bring healing in your life. And there is times to call on others to pray. And, you know, but there's times when, you know, for me, you know, I'll just go to the Lord and pray and see victory in my life. And that's a beautiful thing about it, you know. Yeah, and just the last few verses of Psalm 103, I love this. It's just really powerful. From verse 20, it says, bless the Lord, you His angels, who excel in strength, who do His word, heeding the voice of His word. Bless the Lord, all you His hosts, you minister of His, who do His pleasure. Bless the Lord, all His works, in all the places of His dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. You know, and David was digging deep. He was saying, you know, you've redeemed my life from destruction. I know your character. You know all about me. You know my ups and downs. You know my hurts and disappointments, but you know my joy as well. And as we dig deep into the Word of God, you know, God will reveal Himself to you. And then he goes on to say, you know, the angels are there. You know, every time, I don't know, yeah, but I love that because, you know, when we proclaim, when we're here worshipping the Lord and we're proclaiming His word, you know, we're no longer beggars. We're born free. He's given us that freedom to walk in the truth and victory of the word. And, you know, the angels are there listening to the word. He hears the proclamation of our word, and they take that word and they minister it out. that they take that back to Jesus, and he ever lives to make intercession for us, you know. And that's beautiful, you know. So they listen for the word of God. Does that, oh, that really excites me. You know, we've got angels all around us. You know, not that we see them. You know, sometimes our kids, because they're little and pure in heart, they'll see the angels. And but we've got our angels around us, and they're listening. They're wanting us to proclaim the word of God and to see that word come to pass in our life. So that's encouraging, you know, there. You know, they excel in strength, heeding the voice of his word, you know. So we speak that out, but then God's speaking that back, you know, and that's beautiful, you know. And that's how I see that, you know, that God is proclaiming that word that we're proclaiming. And seeing that established in all the earth and bringing victory in people's lives. So that's so encouraging to see that. And, and I just wanted to share with you, a few weeks ago after I came home from England, I went to a prayer conference in Perth, and you know, there was a couple of thousand people there and people from other nations there, and that was a really blessed time for me. And there was a speaker there called Rick Ridings, and he was he'd come from Israel, and he was a Christian Messianic Jew, and they've got to work in Jerusalem, and you know, now we've got the Middle East crisis and Israel involved at the moment. But he was there at this conference, and he was sharing to us. He was saying, you know, how many people had come from the that were born again in the 1950s and 60s and 70s, you know, around that time. And we'd had that at the INC conference as well, hadn't we? The same thing, you know. And there was a lot of us older Christians there, and you know, and he asked us to stand up, and so all over this auditorium there was hundreds of people, you know, just standing up, and from that older generation. And he said, you were the last generation that had seen a move of God, and you know, here in Australia. And and he said, I want you to, he said, I'm going to ask the 30-year-olds and under to stand up in this room. And, you know, we were all standing there, and he said, I want you to go to them and pray for them to see the next move of God. And for me, that was such an honour and a privilege, because, you know, it's like, you know, we're taking this word today, you know, from one generation to the next. And he's saying, will you take this word and bring it to the next generation and let them see the move of God that you've experienced? And for me, you know, that was really powerful. And I wanted to, in a minute, we're going to have a time of prayer later, and I just really want to spend time in prayer. And if anyone wants prayer, you know, and to see that the hand of God move in their life, you know, we're going to open the altar, or you can just stay in your seat and just pray, you know, whatever God leads you to do. But, you know, it's just my heart today is to see this next generation come through and see the move of the Spirit. And, you know, it's something that I absolutely love. And in Galatians 2:20, I'm just going to look it up, and I'm going to read it out of the Passion Translation. And this is my prayer for you today, that, you know, that God's going to just take your life. Like I said before, he wants your mind and your heart to meet and for him to do a work in your life. And in Galatians 2:20, it says, my old identity has been co-crucified with Christ and no longer lives. And now the essence of this new life is no longer mine. For the Anointed One who lives his life through me, we live in union as one. My new life is empowered by the faith of the Son of God who loves me so much that he gave himself for me, dispensing his life in me. So it's no longer you that lives. You know, your old identity, your old life is gone. And his life has come in you. And I believe he wants to grow in you in an ever-increasing way. He wants you to by the power of the Holy Spirit, he wants to take your life and use it in a greater way for you for the Lord to be glorified through you. So that so it says, my new life is empowered by the faith of the Son of God who loves me so much that he gave himself for me, dispensing his life in me. So he's pouring his life into you so that you can pour it out to others. Praise the Lord. And do you see that today? Do you see what he wants to do in your life? And, you know, it's something that's just so powerful. For me, that happened to me many years ago, and I just keep growing in him. And that Jesus Christ can be revealed in me more and more every day. You know, so this is a prayer I pray, you know, a lot, that his new life is empowered through me, that I can live my life through him. Praise the Lord. And, you know, there's this, you probably realise, God speaks to me a lot through songs. And there's a song I've been singing, and it's by Hillsong United. And I'm just going to read one of the verses out of the song, and it's called Hosanna. But the lines of this song is probably a prayer I'd really like to pray for you guys today. And or the music team can come up. And we're just going to do Heart of Worship or whatever you want to do. Yeah, and they're just going to minister in the background. But this is my prayer for you today, that this particular song. And I just pray by the power of the Holy Spirit that he's just going to do a work in your life. Amen. It says, fill my heart and make it clean. Open my eyes to the things unseen. Show me how to love like you. Break my heart for what breaks yours. Everything I have for your kingdom's cause. And those two lines have just been stirring in me all week, or for months now. You know, break my heart. Break my heart for what breaks yours. And I see our Heavenly Father. You know, just let's come into a place of prayer today and just consider what he wants to do in each and every one of us. You know, Jesus is the way, the truth and the life. And the life that he's given to us, he wants us to reveal to a world that doesn't know him. You know, God, he might be looking on us in Australia and every church that's meeting together in Australia, but he's looking on Israel and the Middle East today. And he's seeing strong churches there standing up for the gospel and reaching, no matter what tragedy is going on over there and the war and the evil that's going on. But he's looking on them and seeing a strong church that is going to use this time to spread the gospel and for as many to come to a knowledge of Jesus, you know, whether it's Palestinians or Israelis or Jews, it doesn't matter. He loves the whole world. He loves every person in it, and he's looking on there and seeing the heartache and the suffering. But he's saying there's a church here. There's a church of the living God that loves these people, that wants to bring forgiveness and salvation and life to those ones. So what is it? Do you have a heart as God's heart? Does your heart break like God's heart breaks for the nations of the world, for our country of Australia, for Melbourne? You know, we're wanting to bring friendship and love to Melbourne, and to see Melbourne saved. So what's it going to take? He wants to stir your hearts today. So let's just pray and just sing a heart of worship. Amen. So you can pray yourselves, or if you want to come out the front, that's fine. You know, just come out and we'll pray for you. If there's anyone that doesn't know Jesus, you know, Jesus wants to come into your life and have a relationship with you, and we're happy to pray with you for that to happen, you know, for you to accept Jesus Christ as your Saviour. And for me, that happened when I was 10 years old, and it was the best thing that ever happened to me. And, you know, it's something I'd do time and time again to receive him in my life. So feel free to come out and we'll pray with you and minister to you, or if anyone else wants to come out for prayer, or you can just sit in your seat and just worship the Lord. This is a time, an opportunity for us to receive more of him in Jesus' name. Amen.